Hey, what's going on? And welcome back to A New Sound with me, Morgan Brown. I hope all is well, as always. Coming at you this week with another episode, and yes, it is great. The podcast is back. I've been doing this thing for a little bit where I interview a bunch of artists, and then, you know, take a week or two off. But now I'm back, and a lot of really cool things are going to be happening in the future. Some live shows for both music, comedy, maybe even a little bit of both. A lot of really cool things happening with the podcast moving forward. Some sponsorships, if anyone is wondering, potentially. Live shows, for sure. And more just weekly episodes. I have just been going to be doing a lot more. It's going to be great. I'm very excited that everyone is here to see that, or more or less listen to that happen. However, I don't want to take up too much more of your time. I have an amazing guest on the show, Gillian Ayres. Her album is out today, and I was really stoked to talk to her and her manager, Emma, about the whole process. So you know what? Let's just get right to it. Here's my interview with Emma and Brianna, a.k.a. Gillian Ayres.
Doing well. How are you?
Doing well. That's good, yeah. Man.
Yep. Just living the dream.
For the pod and for the listeners at home, this is Emma. Emma, you are a still local Braintree resident, past Braintree resident. Where are you these days? Are you in Boston?
I'm in Boston currently. I'm a past Braintree resident. So nice. I do have to admit it. But yeah, I'm in Boston right now getting my MBA.
Hell
that's
yeah,
Northeastern.
Dude.
Yeah, go Huskies.
Now, real quick, I just wanted to just, what is your initial background? Like, because you wanted to start managing, mm-hmm. and what was your, when did this start coming out? When did this start happening?
Yeah, so basically my senior year of college, I was like, or actually junior year of college, I was like really inspired by, can I swear on this, by the way?
Absolutely. Okay? No, swearing is almost encouraged.
So awesome. So I was really inspired by Lana Del Rey's Norman fucking Rockwell album.
Oh, dude, that record's
and
sick.
It is so good. It is so good. And I was like, I need to get involved in this somehow. Music had always been like a big part of my life, but I never was like I was never a musician. I just kind of was like a spectator always. So,
I think that you're the only person on earth that Lana Del Rey inspired to make music.
Yeah,
if anything, determined everyone else away.
No, I know.
I love Lana.
Feel like, no, I'm such a stan, and I know that she's controversial at times, but I think it's all in the media. It all gets
oh skewed. My god. But yeah. Do you see that now as when you started your journey in the music industry specifically?
Definitely. That was like what inspired me to be like, mm-hmm. okay, I was like, you know, reading about her career and stuff like that, and I was like, how do I get involved? Like, how do I don't know, be on the non-music side of music.
Right.
So I reached out to some places around Boston. I actually started an internship at Fenway Recordings, who manages like MGMT and stuff mm-hmm. like that. So that's kind of how I got into it. And then I just really fell into it with school friends. And we kind of started our own management company.
Talk about Friendly Media for a second, because I think it is really interesting because you're working with first off, who's on the pod today? I mean, Brianna's incredible. Yes. But if you, mm-hmm. what's your background with Brianna and knowing her story specifically? Did that come with the media company specifically or the management firm, or did that come separately?
Yeah. So I was scrolling on TikTok one night, as one does during Christmas break, and I came across her on, she was singing she had a TikTok and it, you know, it had like massive numbers, but that's kind of where I found her initially. And then I was really drawn to, obviously, I think she's like a lyrical genius, but, and I'm biased, but I was really drawn to her lyrics. And then when I started meeting with her, like her vision was insane. So I was like, that's what I was really looking for in an artist to work with. And she's just such a hustler, just has great mental work ethic and just super creative, all around awesome person. But yeah, I just connected with her on TikTok, and then she ended up going to school in Boston too. So, yeah, that's kind of how we got started. And that's that was kind of my like entry point into, you know, independently managing somebody, without, you know, or with a team, but kind of just doing it.
Yeah. But like, yeah, she is like your bread and butter. Like, she is your person.
Yeah. She's, yeah, incredible. She's like,
and yeah, forming that bond even between manager and artist has its own difficulties, specifically because I know we were discussing on how, because I haven't had a manager actually on the podcast yet to discuss mm-hmm. that end of things and the way you have to approach different artists specifically mm-hmm. with guidance and everything. I think you had a very good input out of like, in specifically like, you're so young and like this, it seemed very wise. Go about how you wanted to work with her specifically and how you aimed that direction into mm-hmm. that world.
Yeah, so I obviously am like a lyrical person, and I think mm-hmm. I really just connected with her lyrics. She has insane talent outside of that as well, but I honestly think that working with somebody that you have similar, you just have like, you have to like the person mm-hmm. and you have to like the music. So if you just have similar interests, similar motivations, have like similar ethics, I guess, like, I don't know, interests sure. and stuff like that.
We have to believe in the person. Yes, you have to like yes. actually believe that they're great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which not a lot of artists even have. Half of the artists I know don't even believe in their shit.
I know. It's insane. Always got to like, you know, motivate people to believe in themselves, but it's half the battle.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, you're definitely a huge champion of her specifically. And I think that's incredible. And I'm very happy that we were able to get her on the podcast and everything else.
I know. I'm super excited to hear what she has to say. But I was really just, I think it honestly was just meant to be. I don't know how else to say it. It just kind of fell into place and we just vibed and it's working out great. I definitely wanted to work with somebody that had like a really strong vision that I could like help deliver in any way.
When that was, like, you wanted to start managing Gil mm-hmm. and Ares, mm-hmm. How did you exactly process and how did you initially approach her? Because I think some artists really, I guess, are hesitant of when to get a manager, when not to, when mm-hmm. to get an agent, when not to. What's your insight mm-hmm. on that so far as like your process has been growing?
Yeah, honestly, it's really interesting because when I was in my internship, I was with a lot of other kids that were kind of in a similar place with me. Like, we wanted to work with artists like one-on-one or like, you know, in close contact, because when we were like working with at Fenway Recordings, like, we didn't really get like one-on-one time with artists. So obviously we were just really interested in getting some exposure. Mm-hmm. So when working with when reaching out to artists, I often asked like my boss about like how to reach out to people and like how to get them to work with me, because I literally don't have as much experience as a 50-year-old man that's been in the industry. But he was like, he gave me this recommendation. He was like, just tell people that you want to, like, obviously, like, you want to work for people that inspire you and you really have nothing to lose, so just go for it. And
it's fucking sick.
Yeah. So he would just always tell us that like we have the ability to do exactly what he's doing. And he really would just inspire us to like reach out to people that we were inspired by. So it was a really cool program. And it kind of gave me like the confidence to reach out to people and like ask them what they're working with. And especially with Gil and Ares, like that was just like honestly meant to be. So
that's amazing.
Yeah.
And the album comes out on Friday.
Yes. Suburban Nightmare.
Is today. I know we're not recording it today. However, if you're listening to this. All
streaming platforms.
It's all on streaming platforms. And Emma is the manager.
Yes. But Gil and Ares is the star.
Gil and Ares is the star. Emma, you are behind the curtain helping out and coming on the pod for the intro. So thank you very much for being here. Thank you for talking about management. And
thank you for having me.
Of course, dude. Anything, man. And again, I just want to help as much as I possibly can. I'm not doing great, but I can give some insight.
Mm-hmm. So, you're doing great.
Oh, thanks, dude. I wasn't fishing, but I was. well, everyone, here is my interview with the one and only Gillian Ayres, aka Brianna. Emma, thank you for being here. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. And the brainwash isn't so bad if you just don't focus on it. I don't know who I am and I don't really want to. I don't think any thought I've ever had is truly mine. But when I play that back, it all sends shivers down my spine. I think that parents nowadays are wasting their own time. 'Cause I'm pretty sure that I was raised by people that I watched online. But AI turned out fine.
Hey, so what's going on? I am hanging out here with
Gillian Ayres.
Gillian Ayres, there it is. Emma just coached me on it too. Hi, Brianna, how are you?
No worries. I'm good. How are you?
I am well enough. And I just wanted to say happy release day, because this will be coming out on the release day.
Oh, okay, cool.
I know we're not recording it. We're recording it now. But hey, for the audience, happy release day.
Thank you from the future. I appreciate it.
From future Brianna and Morgan.
Yes.
It's I'll be honest, it's a really great record from what I will hear.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Regardless of what I will hear, let's talk about what we can hear right now. Because
holy
shit, dude, this stuff is unreal. I am very, very, very excited for Suburban Nightmare.
Thank you so much. Oh my gosh, I really appreciate that.
No, absolutely. That's really I mean, Emma sent me your music and then I was just like, damn, this is awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I've been writing for a while and I got to work with like a pretty cool producer on those projects too.
Well, let's go back for a little bit, because I mean, I don't know how many of like interviews and anything you've done, but just for your audience and mine and the podcast and the audience and anyone who's listening, your name's Brianna. You go by Gillian Ayres.
I do. Yes.
And what's the origin story? What's the background? I will never ask.
No. There's like an actual. Else.
Yeah, no, because relatively, I mean, what, your first single came out in 2020?
Yeah, I guess. So the end of 2020. Yeah.
So as a relatively, like, I guess I would say for what I consider to be a new artist,
mm-hmm,
they would have like one or two, like you've been grinding.
I've
been seriously grinding.
I know. Yeah. No, I have. I've been writing for a long time and like I didn't release anything until I was like, I'm ready. Like I know that I'm ready. Absolutely.
But that's how you got to do it. You just got to get the feeling right.
Yeah. No, for sure. But then once I was ready, I kind of was like, okay, well, I might as well like really just like go for it. And honestly, because of COVID and everything, I didn't feel like I did my school stuff and whatever, but I didn't feel like I had to put in as much effort maybe as I did in high school or whatever.
Well, I mean, that makes perfect sense though. I think it's just one of those things that, well, so let's go back to when you started writing. You started writing or like high school kind of, where are you from originally? I know you're based in Boston, but.
Yes, I'm based in Boston. I'm from Jersey.
Where in Jersey?
Bergen County.
Oh, I know Bergen County.
Yes, Bergen County.
Hell yeah, dude.
Yeah.
The
origin story for
some say the Mecca of the New Jersey music scene is in Bergen County. A lot of really amazing.
I was literally gonna be like, what? Like
I just know a lot of really good bands that come out of there, man. It's a really cool music area.
Okay, that's kind of interesting. Yeah, I'm kind of slowly figuring that out about Boston. Like, mm-hmm. I'm realizing, especially because there's, like, music schools here, but I, like, never connected the dots and stuff.
Yeah,
but
now it's a pretty big music city.
Oh, and it really is. Yeah, I usually think of, like, New York, Nashville, and LA, but, like, Boston's got its moment.
I think I've discussed this with some other people on the podcast, talking about Boston specifically, on how the music has changed a lot from specifically, like, I mean, Emma's younger than me. But when I was like growing up in Boston, it was like very either Emerson, super heavy art based, like indie emo music, or it was just hardcore in Alston and Brighton. Like it was just house parties and Austin and Brighton that were just the Boston hardcore scene. Those that's are the only two real things, but I think it's really growing into its own.
Yeah, as like that's a musical true. City. I feel like even now I still like those are definitely the influences that I see. Like for I sure. see those the most for sure. Mm-hmm. But like, I think that everybody's like got their own vision and doing their own thing, which is
because you're cool. definitely doing your own thing comparatively.
Yeah, I'm still figuring like right now I feel like I have this alt pop sound. Mm-hmm. Like I think that the lyrics make it less poppy, but the sound itself is like pretty pop and like, you know, because that's my producer's vibe as well. Mm-hmm. But for whatever project I do next, I think that I'm gonna go in a more like a direction that's based more in like the actual instruments instead mm-hmm. of like the, you know, working in the, like the workshop and everything. So that's where I think I'm going to go. But I feel like even then there's like so much room to explore with that.
Well, I think it's either one of those things that I think I grew up just like doing band stuff with like mm-hmm. instruments and everything. And now I'm like, nah, I just want to make everything pop music yeah, on a computer. I guess, and stuff.
Yeah, that's
and
it, fair.
Or it's flipped. It's either yeah, I started doing pop yeah, music. Or it's, yeah, so it's very interesting. Sure. For thing there sure. but so now you were growing up in Bergen County, you were writing yeah. songs high school kind of, where is the yeah. actual musical seeds that grew?
Well, I it's kind of funny because I didn't really even like I was writing all throughout high school. Like I started for fun every once in a while probably in eighth grade, and then as high school went on I got like more serious about like just enjoying like I even though it wasn't something that I did for other people, or I didn't even do it as a part of school. Like it was just something that I started like personally mm-hmm. taking seriously. And then I got to my senior year and I was like, oh my God, like I kind of like,
you're like, I'm kind of good at this. I'm kind not, like, of
not,
right.
even, not even that yet. But I was just kind of like, I like kind of want to do this. Like, I don't really know. I don't know. Like, and right. then, and that was kind of a weird realization because I was going to do engineering.
That's definitely a departure.
Yes, it was. It was a very, and the funniest thing though, was that like, I never like, this was not something that I talked about. And so when I kind of made the announcement to like my family and just like the people in my life that I was like going to major in music industry, it was like, that's weird, but fine. Like, okay. Like,
that's so great. Interesting.
Yeah.
I feel like artists are usually very in it with themselves.
Well, yeah. And, like, no, everyone well, kind of knows.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now right. I am. Like, it's so funny because now when I meet people, like the first thing they'll know about me is that I'm a musician, but like for so long,
but that's
that
kind of fucking sick, dude. That's
yeah. No, it's super cool. It's super cool. It's super sick. I love it. No. Yeah, for sure. But that's like the origins of like my music and stuff.
So now you go to college for music and yes. now when does the first song take place? Is that the first song you wrote? Because what was like you getting into the actual Gilinaris
okay.
vibe?
Got you. Okay. So my freshman year, mm-hmm. I joined the songwriting club, and that was like my first time really like showing my work to other musicians and stuff. And that was a really cool experience for me. But then COVID happened. And so I came back though, fall of my sophomore year, and I took advanced songwriting, which I had been trying to get into that class like since I started going to Northeastern, and I finally got into it. And so I took that class, and a lot of like, once I started taking that class and I started writing songs for that class, that's when I was like, I think that I could be good at this. Like that's when I was like, okay.
Such a weird validation.
No, yeah.
Exercise. It's a no, very yeah. interesting way it's to go good. About that.
No, yeah. It's really because just getting into that. And even just like being around like other musicians sometimes and like being able to just have that community is like really mm-hmm. encouraging. And I think that was definitely a part of it too. And I just was kind of like, oh my gosh, like, I think I'm going to start, you know, taking this more seriously and talking about it more and putting it out there more. And so, yeah, that's kind of how that progressed. And then basically the first song I released was with this girl from my songwriting class named mm-hmm. Sana. And
Snow for Halloween for listeners.
Snow on Halloween. And so that was the first song I released. And that was like right at the end of that semester. And then from there, it was just like me releasing and writing and kind of just like going with it, going with the flow.
Because even it's interesting going back, because the Suburban Nightmare stuff, obviously, now the album is fully out. But when you first had the first singles that came out for the record and everything, it does have a change from the EP.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Because I think it's very interesting lyrically. It's so interesting that you're saying, like, because obviously you said you started with lyrics first and like you were like doing that. But it's even more interesting, and I'll take that again for the edit. It's even more interesting that, I don't know, even listening to the lyrics progress, just you can tell like the vibe is just its own thing. Now, what was that process like going from the first single where you're writing with people in your songwriting group to then you want to take on an actual, like, basically like an EP, like a project?
Yeah, well, it's... So for the EP, basically all of those songs were just songs. Most of them, 4 out of 5 of the songs were songs that I had written for my songwriting class. And that's when I started posting on TikTok too. So the things just kind of lined up really well where I was like, I want to release an EP. I met with my producer. And then literally right after I met with my producer for the first time, like a video did well on TikTok or something. And so those things lined up really well. And I was like, I have these songs from my songwriting class. Like, I'm going to put out this EP.
Did you meet your producer through the songwriting class as well? Or was that its own?
No, that I met him on Sound Better because I kept on trying to like find somebody that I could collab. I honestly, it was hard because I didn't have any connections yet. And I wanted just somebody, I literally just wanted like a random producer person to like walk up to me and be like, hello, I'll produce your music. And it's just like, I didn't have the resources at that time. And so I went on Sound Better and just like tried to find cheap, like producers that would like not pay, like not charge me that much. And like, that's like basically how I found him. And then for the following project, I literally stayed home for like that semester to save up for like, you know, funding.
Yeah, recording time, everything else going up. Yeah. Personally, also, what was the mindset? Were you like, after the first single came out, were you like, okay, yeah, no, I'm in this? Or was it like a more of a slow build? Or was, how did TikTok affect you? Because that sounds like it's a very interesting. Yeah. Like, what is, because I've talked to a lot of musicians on here. I had like Leanna Firestone, a teen scientist I had on there who were like big TikTok people, and everyone's opinion is just so different.
I love that.
It's very interesting. Gosh. I really love that.
Okay, I'll give you my spiel about it.
I would love TikTok to hear, because I think it's a very interesting thing that's now dominating how music is.
Yeah, and I would be curious. I think that, I don't know, my personal thing about it is I don't even like use the app to scroll anymore. Mm-hmm. Like I'm just like completely off.
It's just for content.
Not even like I've stopped. Like I'm done. So basically when I first started posting, it was really cool because I had a little, like I had my own confidence about my music, but it felt like, oh my gosh, like this is being validated. Like actual people like who don't know me and are just like random people on the internet, like think that I'm good. And that was super cool. And that took me to a level in my brain where I was like, this is potentially like something that I could like genuinely take seriously. Like I could like genuinely pursue this thing and like take myself seriously as a songwriter. And I had never like felt that way before. Like in the past, pursuing music felt very like out of reach. And so that like TikTok allowed it to kind of be this thing that was in reach now. And then, you know, I was posting, doing my thing. And then once I started working on Suburban Nightmare, I kind of felt a little like stretched thin because I was working on this album that I really wanted to work on. Like that was my priority. But then I was like writing and posting things. And like, it felt like I was writing and like posting right after, like not even letting the writing, like not even sitting with my writing for like 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. It was just like, and some of the best, like Bad Role Models is a song from the EP. And that song was really cool to write because I wrote it and I was like, I love this song. Like, this song is so good. And then I like recorded a TikTok and I like felt like so good about it. And TikTok like validated that. Mm-hmm. And it was like such a sick experience. But then it got to the point where it was like, oh, like every time I wrote something, I was like, oh my gosh, I want to post this on TikTok. And then it was like, I really shouldn't be like posting on TikTok like every single time I write something. Like, that's, it's like, it feels like I'm just like pushing out content, like
oversaturating like kind of, ever, like, to, you know,
yeah,
you know,
and it, constantly, yeah, and
if you have,
yeah,
to think about that too with songwriting, I could tell how that is definitely draining.
Yeah, and it's like, I love writing, like I can just write, like I go through times, especially if I'm like, there's just not much going on around me, I will just write and write and write. And it's like not a problem if I'm writing a lot. It's more just like if I'm constantly putting it out there for like public consumption, like without sitting with it myself, like it feels weird after a while. And so that's kind of what started happening. And so I took a break and I wrote like, am I allowed to curse?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. I wrote like a shit ton of songs and they were like, so I was like so proud of them. And that was like a product from just taking a break from TikTok. And so I'm like, so that's kind of, oh my gosh, people are like screaming outside my apartment. But basically that was like a cool, that was like, that's where my relationship with it started getting a little bit like tricky, mm-hmm. because I was like, well, now I'm off of it and I'm feeling so creative and like really good about my work. Like, what does that mean? You know? And then I got back on it once I had finished the album, was like, I made a whole album, guys. Hello. You know, I like let people know about the singles for sure. But then I kind of got to a point where I was like, I don't really like, this isn't really like, I'm not enjoying posting anymore. And I feel like I enjoy other formats of like putting out my, and like even promoting my music. Like I love using Instagram and like having like visuals and images, like that makes me so happy. But the TikTok,
well, I think I could, I mean, I definitely want to go into it a little bit later because I do think you have such a very interesting grasp on visual content specifically.
Thank
as well.
You.
Well, no, oh just gosh. Because the album covers are just so cohesive with, I feel.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate that.
Oh, you know, I wouldn't lie.
Good to know.
That'd be a little good bit. I look, I only have people on the podcast who I like. So
I love that. One of those things. I love this.
So, and I don't know why I have questions about it too specifically. Oh, come on.
Yeah, I am truly.
I really appreciate that. Well, now I'm flattered. But going back through so you finished the EP.
Yes.
And now you just take away from time from TikTok. You're focusing on the record. How validating is that for then you to go off the platform, take a break, and then have it come back? And then people are still. It's almost like building anticipation, yeah, like less is sometimes more.
For sure. Yeah, that's so true. And I also feel like it was one of those things where the way that I've thought about it kind of is that there was like this huge growth spurt on that app. Mm-hmm. Like I went through like a growth spurt but then it was just like, it sometimes responding to comments even would get like, oh, this is like a lot. Like I'm having, and I'm like, draining. I'm not even draining, but it was just like, oh, like I can't even make one-on-one connections with any of these people right now. And it feels like I'm like literally like just commenting at a screen. But then when there are those names that I can recognize and like they pop up all the time, like those are connections, like specific connections with like people who listen to my stuff that are so cool to me. Where like sometimes what's nice about being a little bit smaller is like you get to really talk to like specific people that you know are there.
Oh, absolutely.
And like
the watching. Fan interaction on TikTok, yeah, and Instagram and social media in,
yeah,
general,
no, exactly,
makes,
yeah,
it so much more accessible.
Exactly. And so I had that growth spurt, but then from there, now it's like, now I'm using Instagram to really just keep that connection with the people who are actually like down for sticking around and didn't just like click the like follow button, mm-hmm, on TikTok for, you know, because one video blew up or something. And I think that that's really cool about like this moment in like music stuff, I guess. But yeah, so like I'm really grateful for TikTok for those connections and everything. And even for,
well,
that,
because
confidence.
Even, I mean, Emma saw your TikTok blow up, and then, I mean, even obviously working
like,
with your management,
exactly,
staff. So it did open doors for you.
Oh, for sure. Oh my gosh. No, but yeah, for sure. She like that. And I even told her, like, when I was really debating, like, oh, like, should I like just stop posting? Like I told her that a big part of it is like, I know like TikTok like brought me to Emma, and that's kind of one of the main functions that it served, mm-hmm, for me. Like that happened. And so now it's like, I don't really, like, I don't even see, like promoting my music and stuff on TikTok doesn't seem super, like it doesn't seem like I just don't see TikTok as the place that should, like the place that where like my music will truly be able to be like valued. Cause it's like full, it's like albums and it's like hard to get people unless you already have that like million follower, like following. It's like really hard to get people to pay attention to like full length mm-hmm. content on an app where it's like, here's 5 seconds. Like, you know what I mean?
No, 100%. Yeah. 100%. Yeah. I think people's attention spans are slowly and slowly decreasing.
Yeah, for sure.
Because of that.
For sure.
What made you want to put out a full record? I'm just genuinely curious about over an EP. Was it just the amount of songs that you were writing?
Kind of, yeah. That's sick. Like a little bit, like where I was just kind of like, I have these songs and I think that they are all cohesive and they go along with this. I wanted to make, because that's the other thing. I think that once I had that confidence of like, oh, I think that I'm a good writer. Like once I was able to feel that way about myself, it was like, well, now I want to make a whole, like, I want to make this whole project. Like, mm-hmm. I want to make like, I want it to be like a concept album. Like, I want everything to be cohesive. I want there to be like a whole, like even a story to parts of it and stuff like that. And so like once I got excited about that, it was hard for me to be excited about TikTok anymore because now that was like the thing that I was like, this is what I want to do with my music. Like, I want to make a concept album. This one's going to be about suburbia. And I have songs that kind of fit well together right now and make an album about suburbia. Like, I think I can make it fit.
So it's a very Bergen County based record.
Yeah. And I wrote some of the songs. I wrote most of the songs in my hometown. I wrote some of them while I was at college in the fall. But then once I got back home, I was writing and recording. That was all at home. And mm-hmm. it was like kind of painful because it was like no one was even there. Like I felt like I was in like a ghost version of my hometown.
Very, yeah.
And very it was weird. Just really isolating. But I guess like that's what had to happen for that album to like fucking exist or whatever, because that's like, that was the product of that. It was like me being able to completely focus on this one thing and produce this whole thing because like, I don't really need to focus on anything else.
So the going into the, like, let's talk about the record then, because again, it came out today in theory.
Yeah.
However, yeah. And like, but dude, like the three singles, like I genuinely like I know that you're on the podcast. I know we're here to talk about music and everything, but I genuinely am excited because, again, like the first three singles, specifically the title track and American Entitlement, are both just fucking bangers. Thank dude. I genuinely really like it. But I did have a question specifically with I know you want to run away to Hollywood, Jenny.
Mm-hmm.
That song seems like it comes from a very completely different place. And I'm also excited to see how that works on the record. Now, the dichotomy on the single, what was the intention? I'm just genuinely curious. And that's only because I'm a lyrical and now like analyst.
I love that. No, me too. No, same. Like literally same. That song was interesting because I wrote that song a while ago.
Okay, like, so that wasn't necessarily in...
No, yeah, I actually wrote it in my hometown, but I wrote it like before I went back in the fall.
Interesting.
So I wrote it like a little over a year ago now.
It has that vibe. It does. It just sticks out in a very specific way.
You know what's so funny? Like when I wrote that song, I was like, after I wrote that song, I got so excited about it. And I remember like being excited to show it to like my one friend Alex because she always likes to hear, sorry, people are like yelling outside. But she always gets excited to hear my stuff. And so I was like super pumped. And like, cause after I listened to that song, I was like, this is what my sound, like, this is what, like, this is the closest to my sound I've ever been. Like, that's how I felt once I wrote it, because it was like this.
It just seems like so real. It just seems like extremely emotional.
Yes, because it was depth.
Not using metaphor or anything. It just seems very literal.
Exactly. No, literally. And because it was like me, it was me. It was because by taking on a character and making it so that I'm like, it's like drama and entertaining, and I'm playing up this like, you know, abusive voice. Like, because I made it into like this like whole character, I was able to like really be more blunt and just like honest about like that voice and that character. And so, and with that idea of like kind of taking on a persona in a song was something I hadn't done before. Like, I know you want to run away to Hollywood, Jenny. And that was like I wrote it like a little over a year ago. And so that's when I realized, I was like, oh, like, I think I'm like on to something. Like, I think that like, this is what I want. Like, this is kind of, this is the music. Like, this is what I'm making.
Oh, dude, yeah. It sticks out in a very particularly honest way is what I will describe that track as. And then even if we're talking about honesty and going at the exact opposite side of a non-literal thing, American entitlement, taking in a lot of different, would you say perspectives? Because the track also shows the goods and bads of suburbia. And I think that that's a very fascinating outlook to have on it. So what was that writing process like? Because it's also a sick song. I mean, I just genuinely like it.
Thank you. No, yeah, that one was definitely fun to. That's one that's fun to write and sing. But mm-hmm. it kind of goes off of that same idea of like, it's, I feel like it's so much more entertaining because I was in that headspace of being like, oh, well, this is a character now. Like, I'm playing a character, or like, there's kind of two characters in the song. It's like this like more feminine version of American entitlement and then the more masculine version mm-hmm. of it. And so basically that song actually I wrote because I listened to Kill V Mame by Grimes. And that song,
Grimes is sick, by the way. Plug. Yes,
love Grimes.
I don't think we need to plug her, but sure.
Yeah, no, exactly. But that song is like this like song written from the perspective of this like man who's kind of like entitled in a way, like that's what uh-huh. it is. And it's him just kind of like, you know, giving off that Godfather vibe. Like that's how Grimes described it in an interview, I think. Like, I don't know. But that song inspired me because it's like the whole vibe of it is very, you know, the same kind of feel of American entitlement where it's like, well, I'm playing a character so I can like say whatever I want and be dramatic and like make fun of whoever I want and all that. And so it's kind of just exaggerating those two stereotypes of like true American entitlement when you think about it as like, you know, that exaggerated version of whatever you see in your head when you think of like a privileged brat, you know? And so what it's kind of supposed to be. Cause a part of the reason why it fits on the album for me is because, you know, my town wasn't like, you know, by a college university, a pool to get in rich. Like people weren't like that loaded in my town. I don't think so, but there were some like pretty rich people in my town. And like, there was an overall sense of entitlement from a lot of different people sometimes. And I don't like, and even I feel like, you know, we're all guilty of like being entitled in some way when you're an American, I feel like, but mm-hmm. I feel like in suburbia, like even if it wasn't in my town, it's definitely in the town over, like there's that sense of like, you know, people don't truly realize how good they have it sometimes. And so that song was like a product of that.
Well, I think it's, instead of it being like, I guess, would you say not necessarily a concept record with a narrative storyline, but it's actually tackling just the idea of different people that live in suburbia.
Yeah,
as if it's all one neighborhood. That's what I was getting from it.
It's just like, it's supposed to be, it's written, it's like the reason it's a thing is literally just because I grew up in suburbia, mm-hmm. but I know that like suburbia can be the same most of the time. Like I know that most
definitely
people,
it's
an if I talk about feeling. Yeah, exactly,
empathetic feeling for sure,
exactly. And so it's just supposed to be about like, I know that you could probably also relate to those specific feelings that come along with suburbia. So I didn't necessarily come up with like a specific town for like the, mm-hmm. like a fake town for the, you know, like the
you're not world building over here.
No, not really. It's more just like it's, this is like a suburban nightmare. Like this is what it is when you feel like trapped and you feel stuck and like every which way you kind of are feeling uncomfortable emotions and having to face uncomfortable situations and people and stuff like that. And yeah, like, and it's like, and it's also, you know, like that growing pains thing a little bit even too, of just like, just growing up and doing it in the suburbs.
Right. Well, I mean, I'm very excited to go listen to it after this podcast, because I guess this would be playing when it comes out this Friday.
Yes.
Today October 1st, which is today, currently, if you're listening. Yeah. I can't reiterate that enough. Go listen to this goddamn record. Because it's, I already know it's going to be sick based off the three singles. And I'll see you at Mercury Lounge on
November
27th.
Yes. So excited.
So if you're in New York City and you want to come see a good show on November 27th, come check out Gillian Arez, a.k.a.
Yes.
Brianna, a.k.a. go listen to this fucking record because it's going to be sick. I know that I will be listening to it and sharing it a bunch. So
thank you.
Dude, and again, that thank you so much again for coming on. I really appreciate talking about music and everything.
Yeah,
and
this was great.
Next album, come back. Next EP, come back. We'll talk.
You got it. Of course. This was so fun. Thank you so much.
I really appreciate
it.
And again, November 27th, Mercury Lounge. Album's out today. Go check it out. Brianna, awesome talking to you. Thank you so much.
Yes, you too. Thank you.